Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 17. We do this around 8:30 Pacific daytime every Friday. We've got a fabulous subject. I've already got Spencer worked up already. I've been missing.
I arrived. Actually, I am having an amazing morning. I got up early. Sun is shining. Had a great call with a new client. I could not be in a better mood. So please do not anthropomorphize me into not being in a good mood. I could not be in a better mood.
We'll soon change that. Don't worry. We'll soon change that.
Could I be in a better mood?
Like I said, my ability to change that is quite good. But in this episode, we're going to be discussing the best themes for your membership website. We've got some of the best themes. The themes are changing in WordPress. The situation is fluid, to say the least. It should be a fantastic show. We're going to be talking about GeneratePress, Ocean WP, Divi. We've got about eight of the leading themes. So before we go into discussing the themes and what the situation has changed, we got a couple of messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Are you looking for ways to make your content more engaging? Sensei LMS by Automattic is the original WordPress solution for creating and selling online courses. Sensei's new interactive blocks can be added to any WordPress page or post. For example, interactive videos let you pause videos and display quizzes, lead generation forms, surveys, and more. For a 20% off discount for the tribe, just use the code WPTonic, all one word, when checking out and give Sensei a try today.
Hi there, folks. It's Jonathan Denwood here, and I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, and that's Zolo.com. If you've got a WordPress website, a membership website, and you're looking to link it with a great financial management package, Zolo can provide this solution. So all your bookkeeping needs are done through Zolo. If you need new inbox email functionality and you don't want to pay the high charges that Google will charge you, Zolo offers a great email inbox platform. They've got over 50 apps and services that all integrate fantastic with WordPress at great value levels, and they almost always offer a fully functioning free product as well. So it's just amazing value. Also, if you're a WordPress developer or agency owner, Zolo are looking for great partnerships in the WordPress space. To get all this information, all you have to do, folks, is just go over to Zolo.com, and they have the products that you're looking for. Thank you so much, Zolo, for supporting WP Tonic and the Machine Membership shows. It's much appreciated. We are coming back. Like to point out, if you're looking for a great hosting provider for your membership website, your learning management, your buddy boss, your community website, have a look at WP Tonic. We specialize in community membership, learning management websites. We've got tons of experience. We offer supreme performance hosting, plus a suite of the leading plugins, plus email, all in one, easy to use bundle. Go over to WP Tonic and have a look at what we've got to offer. So before we go into the Pacific themes that we're talking about, Spencer, what are some of the things that you think people have to be aware that will allow them to make a semi-logical choice around what are some of the best choices when it comes to themes?
Okay, so first of all, I want to say high five to Tina Cook, who is one of our regular fans who comes, and she's got an amazing audience. She's very skillful. I've been following her on Twitter, and I love that she's here. And I think she's probably conveying some of what we're talking about to her audience. So here's, with that in mind, what I want to talk about. We are in a transitional phase that could not be any more exciting, in my opinion, between the old original way of doing things in WordPress, including some of the components like the customizer and templates and child themes, versus the full site editing, FSE, which to me is completely unnecessary, a complete bane to the existence of all the other stuff, because it confuses people and does nothing better than if we just stuck with the thing that was between those two worlds, which was the Gutenberg block editor, including Gutenberg block patterns. And I'm going to go into more details, but the short story of this, we used to be in a world when I started in WordPress hand coding themes, and then you had to customize them using a child theme. And that was a lot of PHP and HTML and CSS. But then after Elementor and Divi and these other page builders came along, Matt pushed into place this Gutenberg block editor, which he's now made universally available. And it was really frustrating, but amazing, because 2.5-3 years we were talking, you and I and the rest of the crew, about like, oh, this is so janky compared to Elementor. It now finally works amazing. And you can save every block as a universal block or as part of a pattern, and patterns can be copied and pasted. It's so amazing. And it works with what we already had. But then somebody got the idea. Let's finally take everybody that's in the right place and confuse the hell out of them by making full site editing, where now you can go one layer underneath the editor and one layer outside of the templates and customize layouts. But in doing so, it breaks the heck out of everything else, because some of the things that work in the Gutenberg layer don't really work the same way. So my personal belief is, even though I'm very good friends with a lot of people, and I'm very friendly with Brian Gardner, even, who's really, you know, very gung-ho on full site editor, if that thing would go away, everything else about what we're going to talk about today would make so much sense, because the themes we're talking about here, they're all basically those original layer and the Gutenberg block layer, and full site editing just makes a nightmare out of everything. Okay, that's my layout.
Yeah, it's my the situation. In some ways, you can understand why they wanted full site editing, but in practical terms, it's made everything pretty confusing again. I think anybody that's looking at WordPress at the present moment, I think the situation was always a little bit confusing, but I think what we've got at the present moment makes it, in my opinion, even more confusing. I think, because not only have you got the themes, you got page builders, and when you mix them all together, it's become very confusing.
There's like, let's put page builders into the last thing we said so people understand. You have your theme, you have the editor, classic or Gutenberg, and then you've got full site editing conversation. If you look at the actual theme themselves, nobody's going to want to work there from today onwards unless you're old school and want to do child themes. And you can still do that, but it's nonsense, because the Gutenberg editor is where the page builders were competing. When you used to use Elementor or Divi or any Oxygen, all the other ones, they essentially competed against the classic editor for what Gutenberg is doing. So that should help people put into place, where do those page builders work? They work in that space where the classic editor used to be in the Gutenberg editor or block builder is today.
Yeah, totally agree with you. But I think for somebody that knows very little about WordPress, that doesn't know everything you just stated, it's confusing. But on the other hand, you could argue that it's always been a bit confusing if you don't know that much. I'm just saying, and I might be wrong, I just think that the present scenario, I think it's become even a little bit more confusing, but you could argue against that.
Well, you and I, I'm posting up here on social for everybody to show up. You and I can debate a lot of things, but I don't want you to do a Debbie Downer on this one, okay? Or Droopy Dog on this one, because there was 3 years that stuff was really not working, okay? if somebody were to have lived through that experience, it's understandable why it would be a bit of a drag, because you're like, wait a second, I'm like somebody who got spun around in an amusement ride. But if you were coming into WordPress today, it's so simple. It's so simple. We'll talk about these, but all the themes mostly we're talking about today in their own way, you just come in, you have a WordPress site and choose one of the combinations of a theme and a block editor, and you're done. That's it. And all the other stuff, full site editing, pretend, see no evil, hear no evil, and everything else that happened before, it's not as confusing as it was. And that's a good thing, but it's taken us a while to get here.
Great to you all. So let's start. In this list, I think there's 3 to 4 major players here. We've got a list of 8. So let's start off with what I consider one of the major players, and that's GeneratePress. They do a free version, but we're going to be looking at the paid versions of these offerings. They do. So what? How would your, what's your view on GeneratePress, and what would you say about it?
Okay, so I'm going to go on a limb here, excluding the old school page builders, like that were the ones that got us here, like Divi and Elementor. I'm going to say the 3 that are most relevant, we kind of have them up here. GeneratePress, Cadence Blocks, and Astra. And, you know, a Cadence theme and Astra. They all have their matching block libraries. So you've got the theme, and then you've got block libraries. GeneratePress has made a name for itself for being very lean, very streamlined, not super sexy, not super really attractive in the, like, look at my pinstripes way, but for those that care about function over form and that care about lightweight and care about this and that, it's a very appealing option. And they were the first to have what's called Flex or Flexbox. That's no longer the case. So if you were doing, for example, like I need a layout that has 4 columns in a row, the old way of CSS would have caused these weird, like, you know, hanging Chad things that stuff would fall off. With Flexbox, everything is very responsive in a modern way, but now almost everybody has that installed anyway. So it's a solid player, priced appropriately. It's really good if you're planning on doing a lot of stuff customizing and you don't want to get it in, have anything get in the way of it, you know, preconceived styling from either the theme or the blocks.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's really Paul from Tut has been promoting GeneratePress quite heavily. He's a bit of a fan of it. It's, you can pay yearly $59. That's unlimited website, so they offer a lifetime.
There's a free one though too. Oh, that's premium. You listed
premium. And they offer a lifetime license for $249. That's, like I say, unlimited websites. My personal feeling is it really is aimed at the WordPress professional market, the power implementer, the designer. In some ways, it's aimed at the same crowd that love Divi. The power implementer, the stroke developer, the WordPress professional type. That's where, because like you, what you said, they introduced Flexbox quite early. It had a reputation for being lightweight compared to some of the other solutions. And not only the front side, but the back side, where you're actually designing, developing the website, which some of the solutions have been heavily criticized. Not around their front end performance, but the speed of utilizing the back end to develop the website. But it's a strong contender.
I want to add something onto what you just said, because that we didn't mention earlier. So we've seen lots of testing. We've done testing ourselves as to the speed of using a native Gutenberg solution with any of these themes. When I speak to the any, I mean the non-Divi and non-Elementor. We've seen that it's really good. I mean, in other words, like when you're working in the native Gutenberg editor, regardless, very lightweight, very fast, because you're not adding another layer onto this tower, right? Or another layer. And from that standpoint, the cost of these, I mean, it's essentially one of the main features of your website. Even at a $59, $100, $200, $300, it'd be totally worth it because it's essentially everything you need is in these packages, especially with, you know, a couple of the ones we're going to talk about that do have some of the fancy features.
Right. On to another one that's on all the lists. Wasn't exactly on my radar. Well, one of the other things I just want to mention, GeneratePress, another thing that we've talked about plugins, other things in this show, is the people behind GeneratePress, it's quite clear who they are. They're part of the WordPress community. They do it. So I think who's behind GeneratePress is quite clearly on their website. On to the next one, OceanWP. Wasn't exactly on my, but it's been around for quite a while. I don't know if you've got any practical experience with OceanWP.
You know, it's interesting. I know the company from name recognition, but I tried some of their plugins. I have not actually dug deep into this one. And I do see that they've got all the auspices of something worth trying. I want to encourage everybody in this show, especially too, to realize that when you're talking about themes, all of these have a free version. So you can get a flavor of, I don't know, 80-20 of what you want to do with them. And almost all of these have the same level of what we were discussing before. They're known, they're visible, the founders are there, their history is there. These all have, obviously, their themes. They have modern, contemporary websites. But pricing-wise, you can get started for free. You can demo their stuff. They all have the things you need to feel good about it. It's the coffee versus soda pop versus, you know, whatever, subtle nuances between them. So there's nothing I can say about this that wouldn't give you reason to go try it. But at the same time, I have not spent a lot of time with it because I've been in those other three or four or five.
Yes. They seem to be pushing WooCommerce as well. WooCommerce, they seem to be pushing that a bit as well.
The WooCommerce is a red herring. We used to say that a lot. That's like a distraction. Here's why. Because WooCommerce itself, I mean, you'll see in Cadence, WooCommerce has certain elements and components that can be styled, but the actual mechanics of WooCommerce, obviously that's my wheelhouse with launch flows and so forth. Like the things you're going to do there are irrelevant to the theme. And if you're doing them in the theme, you're making a mistake because of the framework versus features conversation we have on the show. You don't want a theme to get too deeply into your WooCommerce operations because then it's going to bump into something else almost every time. You see what I mean?
Yeah, they offer a yearly for free sites at $32. Oh, they also got a lifetime license at $133. Yeah. It's very competitive price. I just don't have, I had a good look around the website and followed some of the video tutorials. Yep. It seems compatible, but I just don't have any practical experience with it. But like what Spencer says, they offer a free version. Give it a spin. Play around with it. On to one of the big players, you know, people that really know what they're doing when it comes to marketing and got a big history in WordPress, that's Divi. Now, Divi's interesting because it's in Flex. Sorry for the pun, Flexbox, Flex. Because it's fundamentally changing Divi. So what would you say about Divi and the changes that they have announced and they're in the progress of going through, Spencer?
Right. I have not seen anything in the last couple months. I think the last time I referenced this was before the new year. But the last I heard about Divi was that they were on board and understood the realities of the future, where, as I was just alluding to, the native editor of Classic has been replaced with Gutenberg. And that it would be really, really, really hard long-term to compete when essentially, you know, the platform and the core code and the picnic table area is owned by Automattic with their own Gutenberg editor. It'd be very hard to continue growing an audience where that's the first and native choice for free. So what they did, much like Elementor, is they took their audience where I think Elementor had in excess of 15 million, maybe. I'm not sure if all paid, but certainly free. And I think Divi had over 825,850,000. They just said, look, we're going to do Divi Cloud, and then they can do various things by offering a vertical of their own, right? Here's the thing. You pay us monthly. We give you the theme and the add-ons and the support and the excitement. And oh, by the way, it runs WordPress. And I think that's essentially where it's at. Now, the one thing that they did do or allude to, and I saw it was posted up, maybe in the fall, was that Nick Roach had said, the founder had said, that they're going to change the output of short codes into Gutenberg block compatible code, which is really a big deal, because now in the future, instead of using Divi and saying, oh, I know in the future this is going to bite me because I'm going to have to replace all these weird codes with like actual markup or, you know, HTML. Now you can just use Divi to generate Gutenberg compatible stuff, which is a smart.
Yeah, Nick's announcement, video announcement, I actually think it's bigger than that. Is that they? My impression is they're throwing their hat with Gutenberg. It's a bit similar to GeneratePress and some of the other solutions we're going to be discussing. Some don't, and some have. Some of these solutions that I have positioned themselves all from the beginning are totally linked to Gutenberg. Now, Divi could have decided to go the same route as Elementor decided, which they have decided to go totally their separate way, and it's not part of the Gutenberg train. Divi have decided that they're going to jump on the train and offer a customized solution that offers extra functionality and ease of use similar to GeneratePress or Cadence or some of the other solutions that we're discussing. Before this decision, it was a totally separate editor that was very similar to Elementor. We will have to see if it's successful. I personally, even though 800,000 is a lot of people, one of the things that was pointed out, I think James from Poodle did a video where he remarked about this announcement, and he showed that their sales has flatlined, especially through COVID, where a lot of WordPress plugins and solutions saw their sales accelerate rapidly, where it looked like Divi sales had plateaued. And he remarked, he doesn't know for sure, that he felt that this decision was linked to that.
It was linked to what?
To their sales plateauing. And they could see that if they wanted a future, that they had to make a decision, and they've decided to jump on the Gutenberg train.
Yeah. And, you know, it's realistically what we'd be talking about with Elementor as well. You know, with both of them, they had just a real great following and a huge amount of progress. But there comes a time at which you realize the platform is going to go a different way. And the platform is irrelevant because open source WordPress means everybody can use that. They just had to, like Disney, Hulu, Netflix, I talk about all the time. There's tons of content out there, tons of people to make content. Just make your own vertical. That's it, because that's the future. And many of these theme authors are also like baseball players or something, or, you know, athletes. They're being taken on into one vertical or another. Brian Gardner in GeneratePress went over to the WP Engine team for whatever he's working on now with Frost, stuff like that.
Now, I think the strength of Divi is that they're known to have excellent support, which comes, you know, they've always had a reputation for providing great community or chat or any way you need to communicate with them. They've got it's a very dynamic community. There's many Facebook groups, their own ones, their secondary groups. They've got a very dynamic Facebook group. The people that really love Divi are very, very passionate about it. We have clients on that host with us that use Divi, and they just love it and they want to continue utilizing it. It's definitely got a strong following. And I think we, none of us know what the future entails, but I think it's a pretty, I think they've made the right decision for the kind of medium-sized player they were. Very profitable, know what they're doing, but I think it was the right decision for them personally.
I mean, in the end of the day, it serves their customers better simply because we have seen, and we're going to see even more, your hard drive is going nuts on me with like the vibration. I'm going to send you I don't know, for next show, it's been like 16 weeks now, but I'm going to send you a foam pad for that hard drive.
Okay.
What we've seen is the reality of this consolidation. And we've seen also how even good or bad, Automattic through its WooCommerce products and their Jetpack, everybody's in a race, a land grab. It would be foolish for them to have waited till it was too late to get going on this. They need to, you know, everybody needs to be doing that yesterday. So I absolutely think that was a smart move.
Yeah. On to the next. So, you know, so if you're looking to build a membership website, I think all the three that we've talked about, that, you know, I haven't got a lot of knowledge with OceanWP, but it doesn't mean that
you don't go. Don't. I know where you're going to go. Don't do that before you go to Cadence or Astro.
No, I'm not. Don't worry. I would never cut out your beloved Cadence. It's a fantastic solution.
I mean,
right. On to the next one. I'll just say that the three that we've discussed, they're all suitable for a membership website. On to the next one, Astra Pro. Astra is another great player. It's slightly different, folks, because it's in two camps. It's got a solution for Animator, and it's got a solution from Gutenberg. The Gutenberg one, they're offering a free solution called Spectre. They have announced that they're going to be producing a pro version. I don't think that is in beta. I don't think it's gone live. But they're a big player. What's your views on Astra Pro?
Okay, well, I like to use these, you know, the GOAT is Sujay Pawar and Brainstorm Force. He's been around for, I think he says like 7 years now. I've been around 17 years, but that was, you know, 2014-ish was when the page builder stuff started. And then it was like mostly Divi. And his team has been one of the leaders in this whole thing that now has these several big players in it. He has a lot of strategic partnerships, including with Adam Presser and doing other integrations, as we talked about in other shows. Astra is extremely robust, reliable. It's the standard. And he now, I think, personally has taken on a role as like with Automattic. He posted recently, you know, as a venture capitalist or something, because he's done very well. Couldn't be a nicer, smarter guy in his capacity. I've never had anything but a pleasure. And again, some of my origin stories were working with him and Adam and trying to solve some of the things, but he's just succeeded in doing what he needs to do. Now, I can at arm's length recommend Astra or Spectra, free or pro, to anybody, because you cannot go wrong with it. Having said that, go back to some people like coffee, some people like tea, some people like soda. There is a distinct difference in the flavor of what Astra produces in style than a Cadence or a Generate Press. And one other thing has come up recently, but I cannot begrudge them this. The original Astra Free gave everything, all the milk for free. The Pro was kind of like, eh, I don't know if I need it so much. My initial encounter with Spectra and with the Astra Pro is that they have now curated out. I mean, I can't begrudge them this, but they've curated out a few really neat features from the free Astra that tripped my annoyance a little. And I don't want to turn anybody off to it, but it was like, really? Like, this is...
Yeah. I think they had to, though, in a way, because I think they've been a bit too over-generous with the free.
I give you that.
I think, but like they say... See, the Divi, I know a lot of people who've got a design eye, they like Divi. But I think if you're one of the strengths of Astra is their starter themes. They've got these starter templates. I'm utilizing terminology that doesn't, I know from the past, but it doesn't really apply now, child themes. But they've got these starter templates, a library, and they're pretty good. And if you're not experienced or got an eye for design, you can choose one of them and get started quite quickly with the Elementor or with the Gutenberg version, which is renamed Spectre, and get up and running. And they've got extensive, over 200, 300 of these. And they're a great resource. I think Uncle Spencer is biting at the teeth about those remarks. So over to you.
Yeah, I want to be clear too, though. That's actually a trend that is across all of these. So Cadence, Generate Block, everybody has starter templates. And the neat thing about it versus the old-fashioned child themes is that that's where Envato actually created a lot of problems for people. Is that like the old ways you would keep the parent theme unaltered and make a child theme to hold your changes because it took the DNA of the parent and gave you room to make your changes, and then they would be bulletproofed against being overwritten from an update. But everybody had the problem. You'd go to Envato and you go, oh, this super sexy demo, I want exactly that. And then you'd unpack the box from Envato and you realize it was just blank canvas. And 99.9% of the stuff was you had to do yourself. So Envato and ThemeForest would start to do these things where you would get the demo file and it was a JSON file that would import all that stuff. Well, that worked for some people, but it was just like, oh, bother, because a lot of things were still manual and CSS. But with the starter templates and Gutenberg blocks, you can literally just look at a library of stuff and go, I want the whole thing, or I just want the color palette, or I just want one page. You click copy, paste, or you click insert page, paste. Bing, da bang, bada boom, and it's done. And that's the thing. I shouldn't want anybody to be confused that this is exclusive to Astra. This is especially true on Cadence. Generate Pro, they have
You have it now, because I always got the impression they wasn't offering much.
Everybody does. It would be really, it'd be non-competitive to have a theme without, you know, starter templates. But by the way, oh, here's another thing. Mix and match. Now, this is interesting too. Why is full site editing such a drag versus the blocks and the pattern library? Because when you're using the themes like we're talking about and the block libraries and or the patterns that you can make, guess what? You want to use Astra starter templates with Cadence theme? No problem. You want to use Generate Plus Press Blocks with Cadence theme and Astra starter? You can mix and match, put that full-site editor in there, and all hell breaks loose. And it's just really maddening because the system we got with those first two columns is so brilliant. It's like Lego blocks being made by a few companies that all work together, and you can mix and match.
Yes, Kermit, my hard drive is wacky these microphone left and right.
I don't know if the audience hears it, but like I'm deaf as a doornail and I have my mic, everything off the table, because when I had my mic on the table, everything like the hard drive to my typing would come through the mic. And that's what you've been having going on now for 6 months.
Switched it off. But you'll be whacking your mic left, right.
Just lift it up on a piece of foam or something. That's all. Put it on a chair.
You'll be making enough noise. But I think it's just the volume of the templates that comes with Astra. One of the weaknesses, I wouldn't say it's a weakness such, probably is actually, is that they, with headers, footers, with some of the functionality, especially with Animator, I don't know if it applies to Gutenberg, some of the functionality they offer, they offered it in their free version and their paid version because it helped if you only had the free version of Animator, especially with footers, headers, and other bits. But if somebody's got Animator Pro and they use the Astra, there's a fair bit of duplication in functionality that can cause a bit of confusion to a newbie or somebody that hasn't got is aware of it. Would you agree with that, Spence?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, all of these things essentially come together in the I want to say it's like dynamic. So everything we're saying today might be different tomorrow, but you know, hang in there because I don't want to say what I don't know, but like, for example, a pal of mine, Verdi Hines in Elementor, has moved to a new position. I think he's head of product relationships or something. He announced the formal title. He was at WordCamp Asia, but they're looking to do really interesting new things with plugin authors and other people that have products and services, not just for WordPress really, but for their platform in particular. And I think we're going to see a lot of dynamic.
Well, they've got to do that really, because otherwise they're going to be left. It's going to affect their platform. Well, they could decide to go take, well, they have. It's all about business. They could decide to go totally SaaS. We're talking about Elementor.
Yeah.
I think they don't quite know how to deal with this in business, but at least they're going to go for a full SaaS solution. And I think that would be a mistake myself. But the problem is, if they don't encourage the third party plugin developer community of WordPress and really build on that strongly, it's going to be a drip drip effect. Gutenberg's just going to eat their lunch, basically. So they've got some decisions to make, haven't they?
Well, I think, you know, yes, but I think also you can't underestimate Elementor in particular, because it's such a big audience and a dynamic company. They have plenty of money. They've raised their prices recently, which raised the ire of some people, but I think was logical given the fact that it's a platform. I mean, those of us, I had my thing come up for a renewal, and I don't know, it was relevant to everyone. It was like $149, but the retail now is like $300-something for the same 1,000 seats. So the point is, if you like Elementor, you use Elementor, you have customers, it's still an incredible value, 1,000 seats for $300 a year or something like that. But just understand that what they're doing, I think, is also making an ecosystem. Like, there's an entire layer outside of just WordPress itself that you can live in. Like, I have a Roku TV that has Hulu, Disney, HBO on it. I'm not buying HBO directly. I'm getting a TV that has that and other things on it. And I think that's where Elementor sits. It's like, it uses WordPress stuff, but you're coming to Elementor first. And by the way, it uses WordPress.
Yeah. I've gone off there because we've got Elementor on the list, actually. But to get it back before we go for a break, folks, and mid-break, is that Astor in Myvel, well-established company, great founder. This is only my interpretation. I think Spencer would slightly disagree. I just feel if you're a real newbie and you're looking at a great selection of templates and just ease of use when you're more of a beginner, lower intermediate, I think Astor is going to be a great solution for you. That's just my interpretation of it. So we're going to go for our break, folks, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Hey, it's Spence from LaunchFlows.com. If you've been looking for a fast and easy way to create powerful sales funnels on WordPress, then look no further than LaunchFlows. In just minutes, you can easily create instant registration, upsells, downsells, order bumps, one-click checkouts, one-time offers, custom thank you pages, and best of all, no coding is required. For as little as $50 per year, you can own and control your entire sales funnel machine with LaunchFlows. Get your copy today.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Just heard a couple of messages from our other great sponsors. I just want to point out we've got some great special offers from our sponsors. One of them, Spence, there's a great special offer. Plus, we got a curated list of all the plugins that you might need to build a great membership learning management system, Buddy Boss website, all curated for you so you don't have to go all over the internet to find the best. To get all these goodies, go over to WPTonic/deals, WPTonic/deals, and you'll find them all there. Plus, you can sign up for the WP Tonic weekly newsletter. What more could you ask for? So on we go on this winding journey. Let's go on to the one that Spencer just loves. Let's go. But on the other hand, I understand.
That I like? Or which one are we going to do?
You love. You love, I say. But he's a great developer, great team. That's Cadence. I interviewed him about 18 months ago, and they just kind of out, I think they're based in Montana, actually, and him and his wife, they just exploded upon the WordPress scene, and and now they're part of a much bigger team. But it's just, I was just amazed. And
talking about Ben, right?
Yeah, but I was just amazed.
Ben Redner.
Amazed what he achieved and how that, and they brought out, I think it's version 3, they've brought out.
Cadence Blocks 3.0.
To me, they've really moved it on. And it also, they, on one of the weaknesses to me, which version 3 has improved on, is to me they've taken on some of the UX design elements from Elementor. I've been quite impressed with what they're doing, really. So over to you.
Okay, so I'll set the stage here that when all these transitions were happening, I was working again, like with the Astra, let's just put it like that. I mean, it'd been an experience with Elementor as well. But in terms of looking at what would work in the Gutenberg space, I had originally written launch flows, in fact, around the idea that Elementor provided the drag and drop capability. But then Gutenberg came on the scene and Astra had dove in pretty quickly. It always worked, but it felt a little like wireframey at the time. Kathy Zant and the whole Liquid Web team and so forth, we've talked about how confusing it can be. But like essentially, she's working directly with all of the stuff that was brought in under the iThemes brand, I believe. And one of the things was that Ben Redner had written this Cadence. And Cadence was different because it kept the sensibilities that Astra had started with, including using the customizer as it was originally intended for, where you have all your options. Like, we already had the system for 10 years, for goodness sake. And then the full site editing thing wants to go off and break it. But like the customizer now, through Cadence, through Astra, like does what it always
looks like. It's bizarre, isn't it? Bizarre, isn't it?
It's like, it's just beautiful and it works. And now we got the block editor and the page, you know, layouts plus the customizer. It's couldn't ask for more. Just don't press the button, customize this template because then all hell breaks loose. But here's what I think they did better. I'm not saying Astra did wrong, but better. They made it sexy. They made it sexy. It's not just a white box rolling off the showroom with weird blue lines and heavy styling. And I got to tell you why that matters to me. It would be better if you looked at like GeneratePress does nothing. It's like literally a whiteboard. Cadence is like super sexy, like Tesla. I don't know if you like Tesla, but like modern electric car sexy, like just enough style and the, you know, like a Apple computer. And then there's Astra, which is kind of like, I don't want to say Soviet Union, but like a Soviet.
I wouldn't compare it to Soviet Union.
Okay, no, too far, but
I know where you're coming
it's from. It's like a Ford. You know, it'll get you there, but it's like, really, like the checkout checkbox has this heavy 2-pixel black line with square corners by default? Really? Like, and so the difference was Cadence out of the box. Man, just gets you there. And their starter template gets you there. I gotta go be alone for a minute.
You're using your sexy voice.
I'm just saying, when it comes to the things that I teach people to do, how to succeed financially with WordPress, right? building stuff. Cadence made it possible out of the box to take what I'd built upon with launch flows and all the other things that led up to it and immediately just go, here it is. It's done. Ben Rittner, the Cadence theme, everything you need to just use this out of the box. You don't have to change a thing from the standard.
I think he's always had a good eye for UX, but he was until block three, version three. It was a little, in organization terms, it was a bit messy, but
there was pieces missing is the way I would say it. Like you would come across like a hotel, the new hotel, and everything's beautiful. You go to your room and it's like they forgot to connect the toilet or something. That would be what it would be. You know, there would be things that were just functionally not right. Like, for example, they were late.
Here we go. He's walking.
Well, they were late to the game with some of the controls on some of the blocks, or the controls didn't do what you expected, like with Flexbox and stuff. So now they've really sorted much of that out. But here's what's neat about it. They offer another product that I don't think people need, but it's like the customization. I forget what they're calling it, a sales kit or sell kit or something like that. You don't need that. If you use it, fine, but just be careful, because the thing that they're in danger of, and I've spoken to Kathy about this indirectly, and I say it on the show if she hears this, they're in danger of going into framework territory, and I hope they restrain themselves from doing that, because they've dangerously put themselves in a position. There's several controls for WooCommerce checkout and products that, like, in the theme start to get into, like, oh, which fields would you like to display? But now they got this sell kit thing that's got like checkout customizer and all this tchotchkes that they're great as a separate plugin, but please do not try to do all those other things that are better left to other plugins.
Well, it's tricky, isn't it? But it's tempting, isn't it?
Well, they can do it by a plugin and I have no objection. It's when it gets into the theme or the core blocks that I get nervous.
Yeah, I agree with you. But they're a great team. Obviously, I had some reservations with the new owners because it's a hosting company and I'm a hosting provider. So, one of the strengths of Cadence is it struggles. It's one of the ones that it's the most effective ones that I think struggles the power user implementer, which I see Generate Press. And Divi, in some ways it struggles the new user effectively as Astra. Some people say Divi, new user. I think Divi, to my mind, isn't aimed at the new user so much, but some people disagree with me.
Divi's market is unquestionably the artistic creative. In other words, if you're a creator or an artistic person first and you've been around some time, you will absolutely love Divi because the things that it does for a WYSIWYG interface are designed to like do those nuances. Now, having said that, they've been very progressive, although I do not use it. They've been very progressive in optimizing their load times and the front end thing and so on and so forth. And now, as we talked about, they're going to be maybe outputting.
Well, thanks for pointing that out, because I didn't point it out. That's one of the main criticisms of Divi. It's not the front end loading. Some people criticize that as they criticize Animator. I think that that's linked to our previous show last week about the kind of hosted provider to some extent. But it's the back end. It's dog slow, I'm sorry, compared to Cadence, or it's just a bit of a dog, I'm sorry, the way I can't wait 4 seconds for something to bloody load in the back end. And that's some of the criticism of Animator, not so much the front, but some people disagree with me. I think one of the strengths of Animator is that if you're utilizing something like Wix or some of the other SaaS page builders, it's got some similarities in feel. But that's just my interpretation of it. But thanks for pointing that out, because I think that's one of the criticisms of it.
I mean, what I was going to conclude with that topic is they're doing just fine as it is. But if you were to come in today and look at, let's say, Cadence Blocked versus Divi versus Elementor, I don't feel there's anything about their interface or controls that's either better or more intuitive or better looking. In fact, in some ways, I find, again, each of them a flavor of coffee. You know, Elementor, you got to know where the controls are. Divi, you got to know where the controls are. Gutenberg, you definitely have to know where the controls are. They're not better anymore than each other. Gutenberg's still a tiny rough, but they're just different. And you get comfortable with one, and it's like, okay, like a set of golf clubs or a guitar or something. You like the way it feels.
All right, on to the next one. Fry Themes. What would you say about Fry Themes, Spencer?
Nothing that is going to be helpful, because we've talked about this conversation, and here's the deal. And forgive me, because this is a thing that we've talked about 10 times, but there was Thrive Cart, and then there's Thrive Themes. And Thrive Themes has a whole bunch of products, including the theme, but also, like, I think the LMS was a tutor, right? And so forth. I can't remember which one there was, but their CEO is Hani, right? Hana?
Yes, Hana. They market themselves. The reason why I thought we have to discuss it is they really pitch themselves at membership. People looking to build a membership website on WordPress. They've got their own theme, page builder and themes.
Well, they have the architect, the leads, the apprentice, the comments, whatever.
But shopping, all in one package. Yeah.
But the Thrive Cart is not their thing. That's the part. Always makes me nuts, because then you say, like, it's Thrive and it's WooCommerce and it's for selling. It's like too much. But here's what I say, because it's consistent. Their stuff is old fashioned. It's not based on Gutenberg. It uses their own, like,
architect.
So what we've talked about in previous shows, which I have to stick with here, is they're doing the best that they can. Now I think they're owned by the Empire, right?
Well, they're owned by the chocolate factory, aren't they?
Yeah,
Wally Wonka, the chocolate. So that's what I'm calling it now, Wally Wonka, the chocolate.
I had to remind myself, because it literally almost, my 56-year-old brain has to, like, be sure. I'm not talking about Thrive Cart, which is another business. But the fact is, they made a choice, which I think is a good one. They took their entire thing and they moved it over to the grounds of the Willy Wonka's factory. And that is where they will get exposure to an audience, just like people do in Envato and ThemeForest. I was there yesterday and I was looking around. There's some plugins and things and themes that have 13,000 sales at $69, you know, in Envato. But that's just not what we're talking about here, is it? Like, a person who comes in objectively who could choose would not choose this, I'm sorry, guys, instead of doing a Gutenberg, you know, open-ended thing.
Yeah, I just don't know what they're going to do with it. Fundamentally, this is because the reason I think we've got to discuss expensive, people do a search on YouTube or online, it's got a lot of people still promoting it because they did really good referral deals. And it offered it's attractive to people looking at WordPress that don't know too much about it. Because it offers all these extra plugins that seems to be into an integrated kind of, where they were quite innovative at the beginning, because they built a page builder that had looked like it had a lot going for it. It had its problems, but the main problem was that they decided that they were going to offer, they were attempting to become a SaaS player, and they had this WordPress walled garden, and they were going to offer all this functionality, but offer it in one solution at one price, and you'd be part of this walled garden. And they built this page builder called Architect, and it was part of their strategy, and it didn't work out. Well, it worked out pretty well. I'm sure they made a lot of money, and they sold the company, the founders, Shane, who's a really bright founder. But they made a play, but in the end, it didn't work out. What the Chocolate Factory are going to do with it, I don't know. They might just keep it as it is.
Like WP Engine is doing with Genesis, the next thing we're going to talk about. It's going to be thrown in as like a part of their vertical. You know, you pay $30 a month or whatever, and you get like a plan. And oh, by the way, all of this stuff is thrown in. That's the vertical model.
Well, they might decide to do that, or they might decide to invest money and do what Divi is doing. But I don't think they are going to do that.
Never going to happen. I'll tell you why, because it gets outside the scope of this particular conversation. But since you brought it up, like I've been talking privately with Jason about WP Engine and like what they're doing. And it's interesting when you look at it from the perspective of like a hosting company and what moves the needle. He talked about things with me in private that make sense. They're talking huge volumes of, you know, like remember HostGator? It was like, give you $125, send us a customer for $5 a month. How does that work out? It's because they're playing the long game. They're playing the millions and tens of millions. And you know what the chocolate factory doesn't have right now? Willy Wonka does not have a hosting element built in. But if you think that's not coming, you're out of your mind because he's acquiring all the pieces.
Well, that's why I suggest that they might decide to do something because it's got the architect page builder. But and if you throw some money at it, you might go down the Divi route as a, you know, revamp. No, you don't think so.
Because it's non-conforming. The problem is, I see software all the time that's fascinating because it still works. It's still awesome, but it's just like a quirky little standalone that's from a different era, a different generation, right? When I was a kid, I used to build radio control model airplanes out of balsa wood. Now they just come vacuum packed, ready to go. And the fact is that the technology of everything at Thrive is from another generation. So nobody's going to invest heavily into like a platform built on that. That would be ridiculous. Because nobody's going to start using it if they have a choice. But they will take it for free, just like if you've looked at all the hosting to date, cPanel and WHM used to be loaded with all these PHP-based tchotchkes and different things you could add in. It was like...
I wouldn't be so dismissive because they've got the money. They could just take the interface, but just do Gutenberg blocks. Go the same route, Divi. I could see it happening, but you might.
I would probably say you can put that on my side of the bet for the $100. The other thing, because
you already spent.
Yeah, what that was, but
no, I forgot what that was. Sorry, wasn't it?
I'm going to go back to the tree.
I'm sure you are. So what's the next one? Genesis Pro. I put this on the list for the totally opposite. Because let's say, folks, that you're looking at building a membership website or on WordPress and you don't want it to do it yourself, you start doing searches to hire a developer, and you're looking for somebody that's got some history. You know, you go on to certain developer websites, you do a search, and you find a developer and they say, well, I use Genesis. I'm going to build you a membership website on Genesis for you.
Yeah.
What would be your reply if you were getting a quote from a developer that's saying they're going to build your membership website on Genesis Pro?
Well, what's interesting is the original purpose behind Genesis, and Brian was, you know, a leader in that. They used essentially programmatic means to achieve layouts instead of templates. Without getting too geeky, instead of literally having a file folder with subfolders and little folders and paper inside, they used hooks and filters with PHP functions to build a layout, which was really streamlined. And for programmatic oriented people, it was really a nice thing to do because you literally could just have a neat little like 20 line thing that built a page. But page builders made that obsolete, just like very few people program in C++ or Fortran or COBOL or anything else. You just use a WYSIWYG interface or AI. So it kind of went into the dustbin, but as a talent acquisition, it's my opinion, WP Engine picked up Brian and his team and the assets, and they throw a log on the fire, and now they have Brian doing newer things. So in other words, he, as a talented person, a designer person, has got a nice position and it's envious for somebody in my age group to say, hey, you know what? It's nice to have a steady gig.
Do you think they're going to offer a Gutenberg library kind of go to divvy off of their own?
No, the thing that I fear, but I can only get into so many public or private discussions with Jason Cohen about this, is that the thing that I fear is that maybe Brian should answer to this. I don't want to speak for him because he's a very nicely spoken person. It seems like Brian is enamored with full site editing. Like enamored. Like he is going full in on, and I don't know if that's the truth, but he can speak for himself. I don't begrudge him that because he will be the leader. In that thing, he will be the leader. And Frost is fascinating. But man, I started trying it along with the other full site editing themes. And I was like, come on. Like, this is just nonsense. It's hooking up like a Tesla to a Tesla to a Tesla. We have too many new things in one spot. We only needed one. We've got two already. Don't make it three. So that's where I'm going with this, is that I don't think there's any way they're going into building blocks and libraries. And if they do, it's in support of full site editing template making, which... Good luck.
Yeah. So my suggestion is, if you're looking for a WordPress professional to help you build your membership site, you might come across, there's a community, and I'm going to be on their target list, but I think it's fine. And they're really committed still to it. It's got a very active community, folks, and they're passionate, almost as passionate as Divi, but it's a very different type of community. I would suggest to you that you don't, if you're having a professional build your website, do not have it built in Genesis Pro. I just don't think it's the right thing myself.
I don't think anybody would, to be honest. Like, if somebody said that, you could just essentially be sure that they're coming from a 10-year-ago mindset. Because
I think you'll get some.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's still people that think like reel-to-reel tape decks are cool, or computer things with the recording. Like, of course, there's Drupal authors out there. But like, if somebody did that, I would not say they're wrong. I would say, where have you been? Like, did you just come out of a time machine or something? Because why would I build something with functionality that I can't do anything with myself and my team in the future? You're just paying to be boxed out of your own website. It makes no sense.
Right, let's get on to the last thing, which I thought we had to discuss it, because just for the other factors of discussing Genesis, Thrive Themes, we kind of delved in it earlier in the conversation, which was down to me, Elementor, Page Builder, but also if anybody's doing a search about building a website on WordPress, and themes, if they're doing, it's going to come up because it struggles page builders and themes, doesn't it? So I thought it had to be part of the discussion. And they've got their hosted solution, but they've also got their plugin. And you seem to, in earlier discussions on this show, earlier episodes, that you felt that they were going totally SaaS. I never felt that, but now you seem to be hinting that you feel that they're going to keep both feet in both kind of solutions communities. They're going to still offer their SaaS, but they also realize they're going to keep the plugin and the WordPress. And I always felt that, but you seem to be suggesting that now as well.
Well, Verity used to be the community manager, a very well-spoken, outspoken person. He doesn't need me to tell it. I don't even know what I can say, because I'm just... We had a very nice conversation about things related, and he insinuated what I was suggesting is not necessarily far from the truth, which is just obvious on its face to anybody who looks. That is, he used the term matryoshka doll, which is a doll and a doll and a doll and a doll. And so if you think about it, there's the WordPress ecosystem that has all the stuff in it. But if you want, Elementor is like a bigger doll that wraps around it, but you could approach this at any level. It's still got all the pieces. It's just they're approaching it from a layer outside of being inside of the level of WordPress. And instead are, by the way, WordPress and everything else in it works with our stuff. And I think to that extent, there's going to be some really exciting creative stuff happening, and I'm pushing to try to participate at a more involved level. I don't want to characterize it like Brian Gardner, because I'm not selling them a company, but that I feel a lot of the things that we discuss here in my energy and my companies is about, be really cool to work with a team like Elementor, where I would have authority and a voice to say, hey, Elementor users, you know, like old Spence, the evil genius, like look at the fun stuff you could do with Elementor. Because once you're outside of the flea market economy of like randomness, everybody's got the same stack of stuff. I could just focus on making cool stuff happen with that stack of stuff. And I think that's what's really the more exciting part. To me, that feels a lot like if you looked at a Nathan Berry's ConvertKit. You know, ConvertKit is one of 55 CRMs, but Nathan in particular, I think, has made it really exciting for people who are just creators to make and sell stuff within one SaaS platform. And if you imagine the same sensibility of Wix or Squarespace or Shopify, it's the same thing. It's like you know them and use them because it's focused. And that's where Elementor has an opportunity, I think, and I would participate at a high level given the window to do so. Because
yeah,
it doesn't matter what the page builder is in that case.
Yeah, I think they've just announced their recent update. They've also, I'm not sure if it's out of beta, Flexbox, I think it is. I think utilizing Flexbox will answer some of the performance problems.
Now it's twice as flexy.
Yeah, twice as flexy. I also think it's tricky because you could, folks, they could take this, they could try and go the same route that I think Fry Themes was trying. Obviously, a much, much bigger company, got, you know, a lot more resources. But I think going, I think they're backed off, and I think it's the right decision, actually, to do it, because if you go too much the SaaS model, you're no longer going to people, it's going to be a drip, drip, drip. The third party developer community, their plugins, they're not going, they're just going to build for Gutenberg, and this is going to be a bit of a problem, in my opinion. But you could just decide, sod it, we're just going to be a SaaS
plugin. Well, yeah, I'm in a hedge on that one, because here's what I see, and this is, they're not stupid either. Of course, they know what they're doing. See, the thing is, like we talked about Envato or whatever, as long as there's a marketplace, and Elementor is a huge marketplace, that's what they're actually working on. That was specifically what he did say publicly. He said he's looking to have, like, imagine WordPress if it wasn't a plugin ecosystem, but I'm thinking he's saying, like, imagine if you had a closer relationship as a plugin author to Elementor, and you had a way to create and customize and sell stuff in this marketplace that we have, instead of dealing with all the drama of, even as of yesterday, I'm going to make a public plug in this video to say my annoyance with this. I discovered yesterday in launching one of my own products, which is Your Best Profile, that WooCommerce in version 7, in their infinite wisdom, decided to put an advertisement in the footer of all the administrative emails. That isn't a switch on and off, isn't in the dashboard. You have to know programmatically how to filter it out. And it literally is a link that goes to the WooCommerce selling of their mobile app. And I was like, what the actual F is going on here? That in the open source plugin from Automattic, they're putting now Easter egg, rotten Easter egg banners in. And that's the kind of shenanigans that is devolving in the WordPress economy, because everybody is in a feast or frenzy, grab some land thing and spraying their names on billboards, including Automattic. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a healthy ecosystem when that happens. Right. Whereas in an Elementor or a Divi Cloud or something, you know, there's no competition because it all goes through a filter.
So this is finish off. So I would suggest that if you're looking at one of these solutions to build your membership learning management system, it would either be GeneratePress, Divi. I never had a love affair.
These are your choices, right?
Yeah. And it would be GeneratePress, Divi, AstroPro, Cadence, and Elementor. Animator's a bit outside. So if we move Animator, because it's a kind of...
Is that an order for you, by the way?
No, I don't think you can do them in order, because I think what you said, they're different tastes. I think they all got kind of strengths and weaknesses, but I think you disagree. Well, I know what you're going to say. Utilize cadence. That's what you're going
to
say.
No, I'm going to give a more thoughtful answer, but I wanted to clarify. I will give you a thumbs up on your choices, given that you have made it not ordered. I will elaborate slightly on that same set of choices by saying, I'm going to be definitive. If you are looking to achieve penetration to the marketplace of Elementor, then consider that like a pool of 15 million fish that you can go catching.
Okay.
Like if you were going to make something and you needed to get the benefit of like the low percentage, and Envato Theme Forest charges roughly 15% if you're exclusive to them, 55% if you're not. So it's like a huge difference of how much money you're giving away if you're not exclusive. If you want to build Elementor stuff, I think there's a lot of opportunity and you should talk to Verity and get in on that, whatever program they're offering. Now, on the other hand, if you are sticking with WordPress first, I do objectively think I would put Cadence and Astra and GeneratePress at the same level, but I would start with Cadence. And then test the other two, because it will be really hard to start with one and think like, this is cool, this is awesome. And then you realize like, oh my God, the sexiest.
Well, I'm going to refine myself a bit more. I actually feel my personal, because it would either be Cadence or Astra. It'd be those two.
Yeah, but you know, you can flip the switch on the free version. You can put three of them in the dashboard. Just turn them on with the same content and see for yourself. And then look at their starter templates. And what you'll find is, again, maybe to some people's sensibility, they like the strong styling of square corners and 2 pixel black borders and stuff. And maybe they like the nothing on the page of GeneratePress.
Yeah.
I like the more subtle, gentle.
You know, but we got to understand people love Divi. They just love it.
Oh, I'm not done with Divi. So Divi is, to me, if you are Bob Ross kind of person, and you're just making pretty stuff that doesn't really, it's static in nature and so forth, you might find yourself attracted to the Divi community, which is still very strong. It's not 15 plus million people, but it's, you know, it's probably call it a mill. And you would get stuff if you made accessories for Divi. But the ecosystem of Divi is not going to act the same way. One of our colleagues in the past had a lot of deep ties in there. And Divi is a very incestuous community where, if you haven't lived here a long time and you come in trying to make a living, you get a lot of grief, versus Elementor is more controlled and it is top-down management. And then there's the flea market of WordPress. So like Divi, if you're trying to sell stuff versus just make stuff, I mean, in the marketplace there, then be careful. But to use it as a tool, and if you also want to service legacy Divi customers, great. But also keep in mind, if you have a legacy Divi customer, God bless you with the time it's going to take you now to convert all that old short code stuff, you know.
Fantastic. Well, I think we've had a great show. So, Spencer, how people can find out more about you and what you're up to?
I'm using spencerforeman.com as the hub. However, I want to make a slight pitch. I've started in 2023 helping freelancers to succeed with how to attract ideal freelance clients. And I have a new product released today at yourbestprofile.com. Very inexpensive. It's a workshop. It's an add-on email course, and it's a hands-on type of a review. It starts at $9, goes to $11, and it's something that will help those freelancers I've been talking about who want to make a living doing freelance things, even in WordPress. So many of them, just put their foot in their mouth with how they approach new people or how they put their profile on LinkedIn or what they say. It's happening during the show. Like you friend them or you say, I'd like to talk to you. And then bing, da bang, bada boom, they come on like a ton of bricks. It doesn't have to be that way. So go over to yourbestprofile.com if you're listening. Check it out. Maybe Tina wants to look at it for her audience, because I'm going to use my 40 plus years entrepreneurial and my 17 years in WordPress of how to approach new people and turn them into very profitable clients for a simple job, like make $300 in an hour of work. So that's it.
That's fantastic. And please join us live. If you've got any questions, need any advice, join us on the Membership Machine Facebook group area. You can join that for free. Both me and Spencer are on there regularly. And if you've got any questions, we also got a load of developer WordPress types on there. Need any advice on how to build your membership website, go there and you'll get a load of advice there. We'll be back next week with another great subject. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.